So do I.
Because there's a graduation for my granddaughter from Base
Hill. Okay,
she
Mazel
promised
tov.
they would be finished by 8:30, but I believe it when it happens.
You have bitachon, you'll get here. Okay, it's Sunday night, and it's the third shiur of summer of Tavshin Samaches. This is for all the people listening. They could match up where they're up to. They're listening on the tape. So it's the third shiur of this series, and it's the second shiur of Perek Dalet in Shaar Bitachon. And in the sefer that we're using, it's on page Kuf Mem Beis. And the Perek Dalet is about practical applications of Bitachon. And really, we spent most of last week, the Chavis Avodas spends the beginning of the chapter just putting things into categories, what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about relationships, we're going to talk about a person's parnoso, we're going to talk about a person's life, we're going to talk about mitzvos, we're going to talk about olam haba, right? So he went through all the, he set things up, and on page Kuf Mem Beis, he starts talking about olam hazeh in yonim, applying, you know, the first three prokim were really, if you look back, it sounds repetitious, but if you go back and learn the sefer, the first three prokim were how to develop bitachon, and now the fourth parak is how to apply it, what it means in real life. So he's talking about olam hazeh. So the ideas we're going to be learning now is not new, because when he was talking the theory and he was talking about how to develop it, he went through a lot of these ideas on a conceptual basis. Now he's talking about it in a practical perspective. So there won't be huge chidushim, but we'll see things as we learn how to relate to things, when to pull out this aspect of bitachon and when to pull out that aspect of bitachon. So here he starts off talking about olam hazeh, because that's the first, the two major categories he made a split in is olam hazeh and olam haba, ruchnius and gashmius and ruchnius. So he's talking first about olam hazeh things. And the first thing, so he split it up into subcategories, and the first subcategory is a person's life and his health. Ben odom la'atzmo, the person, him or herself. So he calls that his life and death, health, basic parnasa, meaning sustenance to live, having clothing, having shelter, being healthy, the basic person, not even, we're not talking yet about how to deal with bitachon when someone in your household has a problem. He's talking about mamish, a person himself, herself, just their own. And he says that, ironically, this is where you should have the most bitachon, because just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, and we know that life is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have to just realize that life and health and basic parnasa that allows you to live. He will be talking about how to apply parnasa towards the things in life that you want that are more than basic sustenance. You want a nice car, so he'll be talking about that. But I was going to say, you want an air conditioner, but then I said, no, that's basic sustenance. So he says, you have to look at these things . This is where you should apply the most bitachon. That what you have, just like your life you have from Hashem, so your sustenance you have from Hashem, and your health you have from Hashem, and just as you realize, and your basic parnosis from Hashem. And in other words, to the degree that it's not extraneous to yourself, we're talking about very mutzumtzam, that I have a roof over my head, and that I have my health, and so that's all part of life, he says. So we should apply the most bitachon there. We should be able to relate to it the easiest, and realize the most that whatever Hashem has decreed should be, we can't fight Hashem's decree, and we should rely on Hashem's gezeirah, on Hashem's decree. He says, just like everyone realizes, or should realize, I should say, that health is in the hands of Hashem, I'm sure virtually everybody in this room knows that, you know, health, you can do what you want, and then, you know, being healthy is a gift from Hashem. Just like being alive is a gift from Hashem, being healthy is a gift from Hashem. And the Chavit Halbavos points that out. So he says, well, your basic parnasa, and that you have a place to live and a roof over your head, your basic needs are on that level. So just as you're going to apply bitachon to the fact that you're alive and to the fact that you're healthy, and you're going to realize, like, yeah, who taka indeed should I rely on if not Hashem to be healthy? Look what can happen. Look what, you know, unfortunately we come to a realization that our health is in the hands of Hashem all too often from the negative, right? When you see a perfectly, you know, good person, a healthy person, is ostensibly healthy, and then, you know, then you say, wow, what happened? You say, you know, what are you going to do? You know, something in the body stopped working. There's no guarantee it's always going to work. There's no guarantee we'll be alive. You say, well, the person was just nifter, like that. It reminds us, we should use it. When it happens, we should use it as a means, ironically, almost for bitachon, to realize that it's in the hands of Hashem, and to realize that look how much we're relying on Hashem. Okay, achivrim, al b'sharumim, we go to the brichas hashachar, mater asurim, zokev kefufim. Wow. Like, you know, I'm relying on Hashem for these things. So he says, by the way, and then he shifts into parnosa. And he says that parnosa is the same way. So your basic sustenance. He's not talking about being wealthy. He's going to talk about that. Now he's talking about that also. I think I quoted last time a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Man de yohiv chaye yohiv mezone." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is almost forced to give us basic parnosa, and you know, because he gave us life, so that's included. So you can relax, you know. Relax and just rely on Hashem that it'll come. So much should you be relying on Hashem in these things that the Chavis Halvavos now launches into, and that's where we're up to if you're following in the Sefer Mamish. He goes back to Hishtadlus now. In other words, so much does he want you, so easy it is, and so over. Writing it is to apply bitachon to basic life and life needs and your basic living matzav, that now he feels a need to go to the other end and says, v'im yidiyasu habrura, even though after you've developed this full awareness that all these things are moser to Hashem, your life, of course, and your health, and I think Brichas HaShachar is really great. Because the Shachar really lists, you know, thank you. These are the things that Hashem's providing me with. So, and you couple that with the knowledge that Hashem is choosing the best matzah for us, even if things are rough, right? A Jew has to live with the belief. It's a belief. If you learn philosophy, it's a knowledge, because Hashem is Tov, and Hashem is Meitiv, and Hashem is perfect. So anything he does will be perfectly Tov. But if you're not of a philosophical bent, then you have to believe it. You have to just believe it. As a Jew, you have to believe that Hashem is Meitiv and does good and chooses what's best for us. I was talking to someone this morning who has problems and issues, like all of us do, most people do. And I was saying, you know, according to the Ramchal, if you'll excuse, when Adam HaRishon was Chote, so the world burst into a billion pieces. It's called Shviras HaKelim in the Kabbalistic literature. And the tikkun of the world, since the chait of Adam Arishan, which we really are, the creature that Hashem created went against Hashem's will, like, that ruined everything. And it ruined everything for a good few thousand years. Not that long, maybe, but it's a good few thousand years. And the Ramchal says, like all the people in the world, in the Ramchal and in the Sfarim, all the people in the world that are born are all, it's like a huge jigsaw puzzle. That's what the world is now. A huge jigsaw puzzle. You ever get these puzzles? You put them on your living room table and everybody comes by and does a little piece, and after 6 months you celebrate that it's finished. No? No? Nobody? Oh, really? Everybody has to do that. It's wonderful for family unity. You don't have to put it on the living room table. You get a table, put on a very complicated, 10,000 piece jigsaw puzzle that doesn't have, you can't tell where to put the pieces. Doesn't have the outline there. It's blank. That's what the world is. And everybody gets their piece of tikkun that they have to be mesaken. And therefore, everybody has different situations, and everybody has different issues, and everybody has different problems, and everybody has to deal with different things. And Hashem created the neshama and gave everybody the situation which is the best for it. But Hashem provides everybody with the Nisayon, but with the wherewithal to hang in there and to do the tikkun that they're supposed to do. That's axiomatic. So that's basic bitachon. Hashem's going to let me live, and Hashem's going to give me the means to do what I have to do. So it is to be healthy, and there's always a part of a Jew has to live with that dichotomy. Hashem, I have bitachon Hashem that I'll be healthy, and if I'm not healthy, it means that it's best for me not to be healthy. And Hashem is only doing what's best for me. You live with that. Having said that, so you walk around, so in basic needs, in basic existential needs, like life and health and a shelter and clothing and basic parnosa, so you walk around that Hashem's taken care of because Hashem wants me alive. I'm here, so He's going to take care of all these things. And the way He takes care of it will be the best way for me, for my neshama, for me. So now, having said that, the Chagat Lava says, now He doesn't have to do this for us. We have trouble with what He said till now. But He thinks He's going to take what He said so seriously that now He launches into a long Hishtadlus explanation. He wants to bring you back to the world of Hishtadlus. He says, you listen to this, you're going to get inspired by Rabbi Milinowitz. So you're going to go tomorrow, you're going to close your eyes and cross a busy street. You're going to say, Hashem wants me alive. I can cross a busy street, no problem. I'm not going to sleep enough. I'm not going to eat properly. I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to take care of myself because I just learned from the Chayim and others that Hashem, who's providing life, is going to make me healthy, and He's going to be there for me. So the Chayim hastens to say now, it's good you're taking me seriously, but I want to remind you that the Im Yediyosu HaBerura, with your absolute knowledge and belief that Hashem is providing you with your basic needs, and whatever He provides you with is the best for you, to Alios of Hashem demands, Hashem wants that you are misasek with the sibos, with cause and effect things, and you have to do it well. You have to be healthy. You have to take care of yourself. Chazal Allah talks very strongly, just as you have to work and earn money, and you have to be healthy, and you have to take care of yourself. Hashem wants you to take care of these things. And Hashem will do what He's doing. His gezeirah will... It's hard to live with this. This is why we're learning, You have to live with, on the one hand, Hashem is deciding what's going to be with me. On the other hand, He's demanding that I do what I have to do, but that I have complete faith in Him, and I don't put that much stock into what I'm doing. So it's really not that hard, because He says, I'm doing it because Hashem wants me to do it. So if you keep reminding yourself of that, so that's the way to escape the trap of really believing that you're the one producing the money, that you're the one producing your health, that you're the one that's taking care of yourself, really. The Hamoshal Lekach, and now I'll put it very starkly, he says, that's for sure Hashem, it's not that hard to believe that Hashem decided how much each person should live, right? You know, that a person is born, we believe in Hashem, so we believe when the child is born, when the child is conceived, I should say, the Malach comes and says, you know, this is how long you're going to live. That's like basic belief, but certainly a person is mechuyev to eat and to drink, and to eat and drink healthily, and to make sure that they dress properly if it's cold, and that they have shelter. You can't dump it on Hashem and say, oh, you can't be a Christian Scientist and saying, for gozer Hashem alai lichis, if Hashem wants me to live, so he'll let me live without food. We all know that's not true. And why should I go work? Hashem will send me food. You're not allowed to do that. And just like you're not allowed to cross a busy street without looking both ways, or against the light, or not in the crosswalk, or where you're not supposed to go. And bitochen al Hashem. You're not allowed to have bitachon and do dangerous things. The yishtes are all of them. He says drink unhealthy drinks. He says poison. But he means soda also, probably. The yisakin asatzmo, and he'll sakin with a samach. He'll put himself in danger. His goros barayos in his days, I don't know, you could go amongst wild animals. Now it would be walking in areas at night that you shouldn't be walking in. O yashlech asatzmo leyom, o la'esh. It's absurd, he says. It's absurd. Mimash ain't bitachon l'odom shlo yavod bo v'yisakin es nafsho. Ukvor hizironu ha-kosov al-kach ba-omro lo tenasus Hashem alokechem. Don't test Hashem. You have to take care of yourself. Don't challenge Hashem. Now, you're wondering, so what is the pshat? Let's say a person commits suicide, chas v'shalom. So exactly what did occur here? This is a very philosophical... It's a basic philosophical question. Like, well, but really it's the same question with every murder. Every murder has the same question, right? So we walk around believing that on one hand there was a gzeira, nothing happens against Hashem's will. Nobody can do anything if Hashem has not been gozer it. So, it's true. Reuven, there was a gzeira on Reuven that Reuven was going to live. I'm picking a fictional name, of course. That Reuven was going to live 27 years. That's for sure. His death at the end of age 27 came about in this way. That's all in this way, and Hashem knew about it. And the murder did not hasten Reuven's death. That's what we believe. And I remember when 9/11 happened, so someone asked me, Taka, like, they think that someone in Eish HaTorah was in Eish HaTorah. I wasn't in Eish HaTorah anymore, but it was someone in Eish HaTorah that asked me that they have trouble explaining to their parents, like, they can't believe that everyone in that building, if the plane hadn't crashed into the building, so everyone would have dropped dead at that second. They just, like, they can't handle, like, come on. So I said, foolish people, they wouldn't have been in that building. One would have been in India, and one would have been in Chicago. And one, of course, they all would have died then, but they wouldn't have been at their desk working in the World Trade Center, and all of a sudden, you know, 3,000 people dropped dead of a heart attack. Of course, that's not what would have happened. That's not how Hashem runs the world. They wouldn't, the Gilgal of their lives, would, of course, the Neshamas were all supposed to die at this moment. 3,000 people, at least, I venture to say, die every day in the world. It's no big chiddush. That's not like 3,000 extra people died that day. 3,000 people died that day. So what? So one would have been, they would have been spread all over the world. They would have had different lives. They wouldn't have been in this building. You know, the person's not thinking right. Certainly they were all going to die at this moment, but they would have been spread out over the world and they would have been different people. They would have had different lives. And they all would have died at this moment. That's not already such a difficult concept to fathom. It's only because you're thinking of them as objective, you know, they're in this building sitting at their desks. And they,
I have a question. Isn't there an Indian not a person shouldn't put himself in a mental Makam Sakana because he's bringing the Kohanim himself in, because the Midas HaDin is at work at that moment, and therefore he may, if he's not, another line he will say that, another line he will say that, um, being responsible and not doing, making sure that you do what's normal and you don't obsess.
My mother calls me up with a new responding about the car seats, and now it really, instead of it being inside, it should be in the middle, and it has to be this tight, and it can't be that loose, and it, you know, and it's like...
Well, it's hard to, you know, there are always gray areas.
Okay, but that's...
So there's always gray areas. So, but the rule of thumb will always be what's accepted as the norm, you're mechuyev to do, and you don't obsess about it, and you don't go crazy about it, and what's on the fringe, so in the chanami, you could have bitachon.
For me, the norm might be that, yes, of course, I'm going to use the car seat, and everybody in my family is going to wear a seatbelt, but I'm not necessarily going to, you know, for other people, the norm would be to do, you know, every new finding about this kind of food, or this kind of medicine, or this kind of way to do, like...
So you don't, in the chanami. Look, when I, let me take my life, right? So, in the 60s, I think to wear a seatbelt might have very well been considered a lack of bitachon. As society accepted the need for it, and laws were passed that you must wear a seatbelt, and it became like, so then not doing it would, you know, there was a just like there was, there became a perception on the part of society that smoking is hell, is dangerous, and it went the whole gamut from being healthy. Right, it used to be considered very healthy to smoke, and it was mechazik your body. Right, so it went the whole gamut, and there was a realization in society that it's danger, that it's dangerous. So seatbelts, the same thing. It used to be considered, yeah, I'll go in a car, like, you know, I'll go in a car, like mechitesi, something's going to happen. And then, because of the norms of society, or maybe a realization dawned, or maybe the statistics showed that so many lives are saved, and it became a normal shmira. Now, I don't know where you draw the line. You know, there's laws in New York. They got that bars on your window, and you know, there's all sorts of things.
It also ends up turning out to be this like from versus secular, and it's upsetting. Like you have these stereotypes that, like, you know, the.
So the Chayim Shalom is mamish.
People, so they don't follow all these rules because they have bitachon, and then they end up looking stupid, and it's upsetting.
We're learning the Chayim Shalom, and he's sitting here insisting that a person has to do what's accepted in society. What's accepted in society as shmiras hanefesh. So it's true. Every time a finding comes out, that red meat is dangerous, or that. So you have to wait and see if it proves itself. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, you know.
But you're supposed to take care of yourself.
The Chavis is screaming that it's an absolute chiyuv to take care of yourself.
In America, there's a law that a child at 8 years old still has to sit in a booster. In Israel, there is no such law. So, I follow the law. I don't.
So you're following the law. It's not anything to be talking. You don't want to break the law, but.
But the issue is that am I being responsible because I'm not...
Ideally, what you should do is do your own research. And now with the internet, it's very easy. You can Google anything. And ideally, you should do your own research and make your own determination if it's one of these... In my opinion, this is my opinion now, in the last 50 years, society has gone out of their minds. And
It's safety precautions,
and it's a lack of bitachon. It's a gaiva that I am going to live forever if I jog every day and I do exercise and I take my vitamins. Hashem can't touch Adrabah. It's a secular outlook.
You could say, I'm going to do my ishtadlus, I'm going to jog every day, I'm going to take my vitamins, and that will be considered my ishtadlus.
You could say it that way. I'm talking about the trend in society in my lifetime has been to become obsessed with things that those are really not dangerous. And they pass these laws, and you can't get, no more monkey bars in America. Right? Because the kid's going to fall. And
that's because everyone's trying to protect themselves.
From being sued.
That's also an issue.
Okay.
All these warnings come out and you think it's
good. Right, so that could be the reason too. What I see in the trend of society is an arrogance that we can control our own faith if we're just careful enough. And that's where it's coming from. But again, the ideal thing would be to do your own research and reach a determination. Or as you say, I'm not capable, so you have a doctor that you're close with and you trust him and you hold he's a very, just like you go to a posek and you say, your husband will go to a posek and says, I know Hilchah Shabbos, but I don't really know it well enough to be able to paskin this shaila in Hilchah Shabbos, I'm going to ask a posek. So I have my doctor friend, so I turn to him and I ask shailas, is this real? Or is this just one and another of these passing fads? And I trust his judgment, So that's I say ideally you should do your own research, but that's not really going to happen most of the time. So you should really have someone you trust. You should have a doctor you trust when it comes to health and yonim. And you say, is this real or not? Or someone, let's say in finance or in the financial field, and you say, is this a real chashash, or is this just an alarmist thing? But inevitably you're going to have to make determination. The Chazal Vavos can't predict the future and point to things, but I do feel safe in saying that if society accepts it if the society you're living in accepts it as a normal shmiras hanefesh, then the Chazal Vavos would demand you do that. The norms of society will determine that.
Has come up a lot, I think, for a lot of people. It depends how into health. If you have health issues in your family and you really want to do what you can. So, nowadays everybody's familiar with how antibiotics don't always work and antibiotics are bad and, so people are looking for other options when you get strep, every month for 6 months and everyone in your family. So everyone's looking for other options, and then there's the going organic. But then, it becomes organic fruits and vegetables. It becomes an incredible financial burden. You have to be able to put things in perspective.
So you have to have someone you trust. If you can't do the research yourself, then you have to have someone you trust.
But in that case, it's very hard to find a person you trust, because the naturopath and the homeopath is going to tell you, of course, you have to go organic. Your doctor is going to tell you, you've got to be crazy.
Right.
It has nothing to do with anything. You do your own research. But
everybody has their own agendas, so you have to find an agendaless person. That's what I mean, someone you trust.
But that's an example how, I just feel it's in Ladavar Sof. You could really feel, you could really feel in your heart and soul, I want to take good care of my family, I want to do what's right.
But don't you intuitively know what's a fad and what makes sense?
If I do research, I will probably come to the conclusion that it really is probably best for my family to buy organic fruits and vegetables. But I also know that financially, I can't handle it.
It's not the society norm, organic vegetables.
It's not a societal norm, but if you
so
do research and you see that, and if you have a situation where your family, where you have, these kinds of, where you don't want your kids always be on antibiotics, not
the societal norm, but it's becoming very... Well, the Chavis Al-Vavis, if we're learning Chavis Al-Vavis, and he says you shouldn't do anything dangerous.
So I don't think the issue is dangerous.
Right, so I think, with the organic...
It's not dangerous versus... But it's your hishtadlus and making sure that... I don't know.
But that's the question. So if it hits the budget, then that's called then you're obsessing with it.
Then it's not a...
It's not a societal norm, and you really can't afford it. Then you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be tachon. Unless you happen to know that your kid's allergic to the to the stuff they spray on the vegetables. I mean, you might find that out, that your child's allergic to that. But otherwise...
Unless it's a clear cut, like allergy or something that you need.
Well, that, yeah, then of course. But, indeed, you should, there's a lot of obsessions out there, you know, like you said.
But it's very hard to draw that line, because you can be easily convinced that this is a good thing to do, this is the right diet, this is the... You should really try to buy this kind of product as opposed to this. And it's very easy to convince people that they're putting poison into their bodies and that it might be causing such and such health problems. I'm not talking about preventing gastrointestinal cancer 30 years down the line. I'm talking about health issues that exist in you know...
Well, let's say a child's super hyperactive.
Right, so there are diets...
And then someone says, you know, and someone says it's sugar... The kids.
Wait.
And then you see. Why can't you? So you see, if you stop giving sugar and the child becomes less hyperactive, so then you have a very real health issue. It's not an inyan of bitachon. It's an inyan of normal histamines.
But if sugar and then the child becomes hyperactive again, then you're not.
I don't know. You know, my wife's very firm and she's up to whole grain spelt. She's up to. You know?
But that's what I'm saying. So like, you could really turn your life upside down doing this kind of stuff.
So the Chai B'Chalobos doesn't want you to turn your life upside down for sure, unless it's a societal norm. That's for sure.
So, but all within, you know, like you can do these things within
certain amount of time.
Like your accent, you know.
So if it doesn't hit the budget. And then there's more challah for me at the table, you know, so.
And you don't have to eat that, right?
It's a major issue, Taka, in terms of bitachon, when it doesn't hit your budget. You know, it's when you could afford it.
Okay.
And then you say, well, should I go out and buy organic things, or should I go out and I don't know. You see, I don't know about organic. Whole grain is accepted in society that whole grain is healthier for you. So that's not a question of bitachon. It's indeed healthier for you. So then, if you can afford it, you should go buy it. And if it hits, if it squeezes the budget a little, then you're allowed to tell yourself, well, if it's not a societal norm that white bread is actually dangerous. So then, why should I be mitzamtzeh myself? Then it's a lack of bitachon, I feel. If you upset the family budget and the normal functioning of the family in order to not buy white bread, when in societal norm it's okay. So if you can afford it, it's okay. Why not? It is accepted and scientifically proven that it's healthier. So there's nothing wrong with eating something healthier. But when when it hurts... Then the pshat is you're saying, oh my goodness, it becomes almost an obsession. It becomes a statement that, well, if I don't have whole wheat bread, I'm going to get sick. Mm. Not going to get sick. Everybody's eating whole wheat bread. People are not sick.
No. I remember there was such a case that somebody about a certain vitamin or pill that a person was, it wasn't a medication, it was more like a supplement, and she was told that she couldn't have it on Pesach. And she said, well, that's it, I'm just going to
talk. Yeah.
And like, it was that kind of case.
Yeah, what
you want to do? I just wanted to say that we live in a society where there's many, many fads, and people are loving and pushing their things. Mm-hmm. So first you have to evaluate, is it really something healthy? And I just want to remind people that before any of us were born, America was saying it's bad to nurse babies. That's how far it goes, so you have to...
I used to listen to WOR in New York. Anybody listen to WOR? They had this guy on it. Ooh, he was against fluoride. He was against everything. I forgot his name. He probably died already. A lot of time. But, you know, sometimes things become societal norms. I think... vitamins, that's accepted, that's you know, that it wards off illness. Let's say the Chai B'Chalobos is about to say, of course you go to a doctor when you're ill, right, and you take medicine. So I don't, so you know, if it's accepted medical knowledge that taking vitamins wards off illness, so then the same chiyuv would apply to take care of your body. So again, what are we walking away with? A societal norm, and not to obsess on it. If you do your own research, I want to reach some askanas. If you do your own research, or you have someone you trust that manages to convince you that it's a real health issue, then I would say it's part of your hishtadlus to go along with that. You know, if I have a doctor friend who convinces me that indeed, you know, refined sugar is like mamish poison, so if he convinces me of that, then my chiyuv hishtadlus will be to stop eating it. If I'm not convinced of that, then I could look at, then I would say, it makes sense to me that it's not healthy. So if I can afford it, so if I want to be healthier, and there's nothing wrong with saying that some foods are healthier than others, that's accepted. That, you know, it's not accepted that white bread is poison maybe in society, because they sell it in the stores and people buy it and people are not dying from it and they're functioning. So if you can afford it and society accepts that, yeah, well, it's healthier, but let's not go crazy over it, so then you're allowed to go buy that also. That's part of your hishtadlus to be healthier. Just like exercising every day is part of your hishtadlus to be healthier. But if you say, well, if I miss a day, so then that's a lack of bitachon. It becomes a lack of bitachon.
Can I ask a theoretical question?
Yeah, of course.
A person who ate sugar, a lot of sugar, and by the age of 50, and he didn't necessarily know that perhaps it wasn't good for him. He had no knowledge of it. But when he turned 50, he found out that he has diabetes. And his doctor said, you have diabetes because all these years you've been eating the wrong stuff. Now,
what do you mean? But no, I don't accept that. I don't accept that. Because there are there are millions of people out there that have eaten just as much sugar and have not gotten diabetes. So I don't accept that. That was a gzeir of Hashem that he should get diabetes. Aren't there millions of people out there that eat just as much sugar and don't get diabetes? Mm-hmm. But everyone that crosses the freeway with their eyes closed will die. Mm-hmm. Will get hit by a car. So that's what you always have to look at. You have to say, well, what about all the other people? They didn't get diabetes. So that means there's a gzera. And you have no right to say that it's so direct cause and effect that your chiyuv hishtadlus is to stop eating sugar. Now, but we're asking something else, really. I'm a little avoiding something, which is a question. If I say, though, I'm going to stop eating sugar because I don't want to chas v'sholem get diabetes. You get diabetes from eating sugar? Really?
No,
I didn't know that.
No, you don't.
You get diabetes from eating
sugar. It's a misnomer.
Really?
No, but I think nothing to do with it.
No, there's a genetic disposition that can be
according to accepted medicine.
No.
I mean, people are born with diabetes.
People get it from being overweight. People get
diet.
So I would say, so again, then I go back to this, that if you want to adopt a certain lifestyle and a certain pattern of eating and you want to buy certain foods, because it seems that it, so if you can afford it, so okay, you know, I would say, you know, but once it touches upon your lifestyle, then, you know, if you can afford it, I guess I'm saying, then it's not necessarily a lack of bitachon. It's you know, I spend a lot of money on things, and this is something also, so it's part of my estatus. It's, but once once it crimps, if it takes away a normal lifestyle, then you're like making a decision, this is going to keep me away from diabetes, when that's not accepted medical knowledge, then it's a lack of bitachon. But I don't see it as a lack of what I'm saying, I guess. I don't see it as lack of bitachon if you can afford it. And you just say, oh, okay, maybe it'll help. You know?
Why isn't that a lack of bitachon?
Maybe it is. Maybe you're right and it is. Because you do it like without thinking, that's why. Just like, if you can afford it, so you say, I'll buy the whole wheat bread, not the white bread. It's a little healthier. You know, itake is healthier, probably. So if it's healthier, there's nothing. You're allowed to do that. But if this is the picture I'm having. You know, if you can afford it, so you'll buy the whole wheat bread because it's itake healthier. But if it turns your house upside down and right, it takes away from certain basic necessities, that means you're saying, if I don't have my whole wheat bread, I'm going to get sick. Yeah, that's like a bitachon, because society doesn't, that's not a societal norm. Certainly not a societal norm that refined, you know, white bread is poison. So if you can afford it, so mechitesi not. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's accepted in society that it's taka healthier. I guess that's what I'm saying.
So would you say that Chaim says just be normal?
Yeah, and that's exactly what he's saying. But Mrs. Kwalwas's question really was that that's, nowadays that's not saying enough. There's too much out there. So say being normal doesn't help you much. So I'm trying to, we're trying to work something out. This is a societal norm. You should have a doctor you trust that doesn't have an agenda. And a chlami, just like you have to find a posek without an agenda. It's not that dissimilar, right? There's agendas. Some people want to be machmir, right? Some people want to, you know, it's a doctor also. It's good to have a medical practitioner that. I have one, by the way, so if anybody wants to use them, just ask me your questions. Yeah.
I have a question. Is Hishtadlus the same as Bechira? Like, what's the difference between Hishtadlus and Bechira? Nothing happens against Hashem's will. Like, if someone steps on my toe, should I, like, not be angry at them? Because they didn't really, like, Hashem wanted that to happen.
Well, that's, by the way, that's what, whoa. It's too much here, because that happens to be the Chinuch's explanation of Lo Sikum Velo Sitor. What you just said. The Chinuch's explanation of Lo Sikum, not to take revenge and not even to bear a grudge, is that once it happened, we should look at it as Hashem. Hashem did it. Hashem.
Bechira before the person did have?
But that person had Bechira and they chose to be the instrument. That's the old Paro question. They chose to be the instrument. But that's not really Hishtadlus. What Hishtadlus is. As we learned in the third parak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu constructed a world where he wants people to be busy. He wants people to be busy with these cause and effect things. Why? He gave his reasons. He wants them to keep out of trouble. And that's where it's funny, you know, and his first reason, as you recall, was that's where most Bechira takes place. Most choices of good and evil take place within the world of Hishtadlus. If you sat back on your couch and you just waited for all the gzeros of Hashem to happen, so then you would never be bocher. That's not really what you said, but it happens to be true. Ironically, it's tied together in a roundabout way, that the reason Hashem made a world in which we have to do all these things, which at the end of the day, are meaningless. That's what he says. Hashem wants us to do that because that's where Bechira, but that's where your choices of keeping Shabbos and talking Lashon Hara and keeping Kashrus and being Tzniustik and, you know, not doing Onoas Devarim and doing Chesed. All this happens in the world of Hishtadlus. If we would all be sitting home on an easy chair and then just waiting for the Hashem's gezeros to happen, so we wouldn't be living. And life is doing all these things. Okay, now he says an interesting thing. Just one last thought is that he says, if you do something dangerous, one of two things are going to happen. Either the person will get hurt and die, or die. Either the bad thing will happen, because that's what happens when you do something dangerous. It was a gzeira of Hashem that it should happen. Yes, that's true, but you have bechira, just like by murder. It's the same idea. Hashem has his cheshbonos and everything's working according to the plan, but you choose to be the channel, the instrument of bad things happening because of your bechiros. So choosing to do something dangerous is an aveira. Hashem doesn't want you to do dangerous things. So either the bad thing will happen, and the fact that it was a gzeir of Hashem should have happened is not relevant to your choice, to your bechira, so you did something wrong and bad. Or you'll make it, because it wasn't in the cards, it wasn't a gzeir that the person should get ill or get hurt or this, but then you took away from your schuyot. You took away from your schuyos. You, a nace happened. You look at it as a nace happened. you were saved because it wasn't your time to, it wasn't in the cards that anything bad should happen to you, but you did something bad, you did something dangerous, so you had a merit that nothing should happen to you.
So what is that?
So that you get your merits. That's your, Yaakov saying, "Katonti mikol hachasodim and mikol haemes," that a person always has to be afraid. It's the Gemara that someone quoted here before. I think you did. That lolam al yamar adam b'makom sakana, because if you're amid b'makom sakana and nothing happens to you, menachin lo mizuchu yosef. So you used up merits that would have been used in olam haba. You used them up in olam hazeh. Keep living.
How does Hashem decide to do? How does Hashem do? I mean, that's not a good question, but if I'm not asking it right, but like, what is it based on? If Hashem decides a person did something irresponsible, they got into the car, they retired, they fell asleep at the wheel, they either died or they survived the. What is it based on? The timing? That's
the person's time is to die.
So because you did this irresponsible thing, but Hashem decided your time isn't, it's not time for you to go yet.
Right. So, but you did something bad.
You did something dangerous. So
which is bad, which is wrong, which is evil. Hashem doesn't want you to do it.
But so you're using up your zechuyah.
So,
so it's not a good thing. So you shouldn't do a sudas hodayah because Hashem saved you from this terrible thing.
You shouldn't what?
Sudas hodayah, that Hashem saved you from this terrible thing.
If a person did something dangerous and then survived it, should he make a sudas hodayah? It's a wonderful halachic shaila. I'm not sure what the answer is.
Like falling asleep at the wheel.
But if the person is at fault, if the person's at fault, I don't know. That's a very good shaila. I'm not ready to paskin it. I have to do research. No, I.